listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
Sometimes sermons can be a little lengthy, can be hard to grasp all of the information that's being said. But we all agree that there are certain points that always speak to us and they stick to us throughout a message. With that being said, you might not remember every word I say tonight. However, I'm praying that you will think of these three words no matter where the next chapter or journey in life leads you. Whether you're heading to the next university, maybe the next college, maybe you're heading to another city. If you're moving away to accept a job offer, or maybe you're just planning on staying home. I want you to remember these three words. Please stay connected. I want to talk to you on that subject, the power of staying connected. In the electrical field profession, you learn that the plug-in connection enables the quick wiring and commissioning of your systems. And you might also just remember this from childhood. If you've been playing with lots of wires and outlets in your childhood, you probably would remember how they work as well. But the technology consists of a plug-in zone on the product side and matching plug with various connections. And the plug is inserted by simply plugging it in and plugging it out. Power connections have become very important to our daily lives and a technology-driven world. A reliable power supply is essential, whether it could be charging your smartphones, maybe using your household appliances, or operating in industrial machinery. However, improper power connections can pose serious risks that should be considered. Without proper power connections, devices, they wouldn't be able to operate or function properly. They provide the electrical current that's needed to run these devices like appliances and machinery. And a good power supply is absolutely essential for running electronics of all kinds. Now, as true as that is in the physical field this evening, when it comes to the spiritual field, it really is no different. Without power, you have no spiritual energy. We need to be plugged in and connected to the source that gives us that power, and that is Jesus Christ, our all-powerful God. So today, whether you're a graduate, whether you're a member of this local church, maybe you're a guest perhaps, I want to share with you three things that you can stay plugged into to keep our connection strong no matter what life brings us next. Number one, connected in prayer. Somebody say prayer. Plugging into prayer is where you get your power. John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. Says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And the Bible continues to say, if you ask anything, anything in my name, I will do it. John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. That's a promise for somebody in the house tonight. You've got a God that you can talk to. He doesn't just hear you, but he will answer you. Prayer is our communication. It's used for the benefit and growth of our relationship with God. Without communication with God, we can become like that short wire in a plug connection. We receive no power for our lives. Our strength and our source comes from God. And Jacob already quoted this, but without him, we cannot do nothing. Prayer is not just an opportunity to receive our needs, but it's to express our need. See that? It was plural, but now it's singular. Express our need of a God and Savior in our lives. In earthly relationships, we see that it's necessity for communication. It builds us up. It makes us stronger. It creates an intimacy with our spouses, our kids, and relatives and our friends. And what kind of relationship would it be if nobody talked to each other? By definition, relationship means the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected, or simply the state of being connected. In the same way that we want to be connected in our earthly relationships, it is absolutely necessary for us to be connected in our relationships to the source of the one who has all power in heaven and who has all power on earth, and that is Jesus Christ, who is the vine. I don't know about you tonight, but I want to know him more. I want to know him a little bit more intimate, a little bit more personal. But it does require for us to talk to him. I think we would all agree that relationships take effort. They take work. But I'm confident enough to tell you that God is well worth my attention. He's well worth my effort after all that he has done in my life. I may not know all of the steps that you're going to take in your life right now, or what your days will be like in the near future. But what I do know is that if you make God a priority in your life now, and if you stay connected to him through your relationship with him, he promises that he will be with us always until the ends of the earth. No matter what comes next, no matter what life may bring you, I want to encourage you tonight, stay connected to prayer. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2 and 3. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch for you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. It was because of prayer that a man named Daniel, who prayed 3 times a day, was protected and saved when he was thrown into a den full of lions. It was because of prayer that a stubborn prophet named Jonah, who fled from Nineveh, was saved and spit back up on dry ground. And he was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and 3 nights, but it was because of prayer that he was spit back on dry ground. It was because of 3 Hebrew boys who prayed and worshipped one God, were saved and protected when the king ordered for them to be thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not bow down to another golden image. And the Bible says that there wasn't a burn, there wasn't a smell of smoke left on them. It was because of 2 missionaries named Paul and Silas who prayed and began worshiping with singing, and they began to praise God. And the Bible says that immediately their chains were loosed. And when they were locked up and put in prison, it was all because they were teaching and they were proclaiming the name Jesus. I'm just here to tell somebody tonight, if you're in chains and if you're in bondage tonight, just go ahead and start proclaiming the name of Jesus over your life. You'll be okay. Come on, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's life in the name of Jesus. There's authority in the name of Jesus. But it means absolutely nothing to you tonight if you won't use it. What's a power source if you don't plug into it? I'm here to encourage somebody tonight and declare to you that tonight your connection and your power source, it matters. Number 2, connected in his word. Connected into his word is where you get your provision. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word Bible, it literally means books. And this book, it consists of 66 books with 40 writers. But we believe tonight that there was only one author, and it was Jesus Christ. It is divided into 2 sections, Old Testament, New Testament. And we don't believe that it's just a book with an ordinary book with ordinary pages on it. But we believe that this Bible is supernatural, that it has transformational power. We believe what John wrote when he said, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." When Jesus fed more than 5,000 people from a boy's lunch in John 6, the people began to wonder if Jesus was really the Messiah. They expected that this Messiah would perform feeding miracles like Moses did in Exodus 16. But Jesus, he set them straight about who was the real source of power and where the manna came from, as well as what the manna pointed to. The manna that God provided in the desert was perishable. It only lasted a day. But the true bread from heaven is imperishable, meaning that it's going to last forever in a lifetime. So what I want to tell you tonight is that the Word of God is going to feed you, it's going to nourish you, and it's going to sustain you until eternity. As much as it is to be, I guess as much as it's important to be healthy physically by eating enough solids in a day and drinking enough liquids in a day, it is just as important for you to be fed spiritually. In Exodus, the people were fed with a physical substance. But in the Gospel of John, God offers himself to fill us with a spiritual substance. We must humble ourselves to receive fullness of Jesus' life by faith. You can be alive today. You can have a perfect set of lungs. You can have a regular heartbeat. You can be the most healthiest person on the planet, going to the gym 3 times a day. And yet you can still be spiritually dead in your sins. And there is great danger in that. With the privilege that we have to receive our meals prepared and the provision of getting groceries in our homes that we give God the glory and the thanks for, we have the same privilege to partake in our God, who is our salvation and who offers us the fullness of life through his written word, through his spirit that he sent us, and through our prayers of communication with him. We have this great privilege in knowing God and being the best people for his name that we can be. By allowing ourselves to dine, to fellowship, and to connect with the head of the table, it is my desire to be a strong and healthy follower of Jesus Christ and to accept the invitation that he gives me to sit around his table to feed my hungry and my thirsty soul. How about anyone else tonight? John chapter 6, verse 53 to 58, this is what Jesus said. I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live. Why? Because of me, the source. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but they will live forever. Eat the flesh and drink his blood. It hints toward the Lord's Supper that had not come at this time. And flesh and blood was a Jewish idiom to describe the whole person. It would seem that Jesus might have been calling people to consume him fully by completely believing in him. The bread represented the body of Jesus that was broken for us, and the wine was his blood that was poured out for us. Receiving communion is an opportunity for people to embrace Jesus' life-giving sacrifice on the cross. And the true bread of God, that is what gives us full and eternal life. If you want to live with complete fullness in your life, you need to turn your whole entire being over to Jesus Christ and let him fill you up. He offers you the bread of life, the Word of God, where we get to read our Bibles and get the nourishment that we need, the encouragement, the spiritual food of knowledge and wisdom. It all comes from the Word of God. It doesn't take you very long to look out in our world today and see that people are becoming spiritually hungry. People are almost coming to the point of spiritual starvation and spiritual death. They have lost all of their hope for living. They look around to be fed by things that will feed them for a temporary period of time. But I want to tell somebody tonight in this house that Jesus Christ is everlasting. He can feed the multitudes, but he can also fill you tonight. Don't go searching for other possibilities. Connect with Jesus, who can fill you, who can keep you, who can sustain you and give you life. And guess what? The Bible says that you can have life and have it more abundantly. He is well able tonight to fill you and to sustain you. And guess what? God's nourishing for your life. It's never going to run out. You can be fed daily by him through his word. Somebody say the word of God. And number three, connect it to the church. Plug into the church, which is his people. I wonder if there's anyone in the church tonight. You just wave your hand at me. Where's the church at tonight? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And last one, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they, the church. Anyone catch that? That they there is talking about the church. Continue steadfastly. Wait a second, you mean to tell me that the whole building picked itself up? No. And they, the church, the apostles, they began to hold steadfast into the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. I've got to make a strong statement and let somebody know today that if we had no people in this physical building serving the Lord, we would have no church. Because you make up the church. The church is made up of you and I, submitting and surrendering ourselves to the will of God. And the mission of the church is to invest our time into the people, to see their souls saved from sin. In fact, that's what Jesus modeled for us while he was here on earth. The Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If you look into the New Testament church, it looks a little different, because what we know, I guess, as worshiping in a temple has now become worshiping God anywhere and everywhere that they go. Jesus and the disciples, they went house to house. They went from house to house breaking bread and fellowshipping with one another, telling stories, praying with one another. And guess what? When it came point to see who was part of the church, nobody was excluded. Nobody was left out. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:6-19 that we now are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16 says, for you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So that simply just points out the simple fact that you are the church. I got no one that's excited to be part of the church. I said, you are the church. Jesus ate in fellowship with tax collectors, sinners, outcasts, different cultures, different nationalities, because that's what it's all about when it comes to the church. All people, no matter the circumstance or situation, has the ability to partake into the presence of God. And guess what? When we get to heaven, John reveals to us in his vision in Revelation 7:9 that he looked. And there was a great multitude, watch, from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, standing before the throne of the Lamb of God. So I'm confident enough to tell you that everybody has the ability to be part of this powerful thing called the church. Listen, I believe in being faithful and attending this building every time it's open. But there is so much more that's offered up to us and available to us when we do it outside of the four walls. And we share the word of God and we fellowship in our homes, in our communities, in our schools, in our campuses, in our places of employment. The culture of the church can be created through us. And we can be the church wherever we go. We cannot limit the presence of God to just this place. Although it is important, but it is a necessity to have the presence of God everywhere we step our feet, and not in just one geographical location. It has to be before us. It has to go all around us. And most importantly, it has to be within us. We are the church of the living God. And if you're part of the church tonight, there is safety. There's peace. There's rest. There's joy beyond measure. There's hope in the Holy Ghost. There's love. Everything that you could ever want or need is represented here in you tonight. Why? All because of a merciful and gracious God. In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Matthew 16, 18, it could reveal to us that Peter is the rock on which upon the church is built. The followers of Jesus were like what we want to call church on feet. They brought it with them through Judea, into Samaria, into the uttermost parts of all of the earth. Jesus had commissioned the disciples, or the church, to go into all of the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And he promised that the signs of casting out devils, speaking with new tongues, miracles, and divine healing would follow those who believed and were baptized in Jesus' name. There's nothing like being part of the church. There's nothing that I would want to give my life to than this thing right here. In closing tonight, maybe we can stand. In closing, I need to tell you that there is an enemy of your soul who would like you not to be connected to the resources that are in front of you. He'd like to see you fail. He'd like to see you not be part of the body of Christ, because even he knows what kind of power is held within a child of God. That's why he wants you to be alone. That's why he wants you to be isolated from everyone within your reach. He thinks that it's a good idea to keep you at a far distance with no communication involved, and to keep you held silent because you might realize the true potential in yourself, and you might just become something powerful for God. Isolation is a tactic that the enemy will use to destroy you, defeat you, and distract you. But an effective connection is a tactic that God will use to recharge you, reignite you, and restore you. It matters what you're plugged into tonight. For example, if you're plugged into the world, you'll start looking like, talking like, and acting like the world. But if you plug yourself into God, you'll start acting like a child of God. You'll start looking like a child of God. And that is my desire. I just want to be more like Jesus. This is as deep as I'm going to get tonight. Are you ready? And I say deep like tonight. Here are two profound truths to have an effective plug-in connection. You ready? You might want to jot this down. You might forget it. Number one, you need electricity. Oh, I almost had an aisle runner over here. Number two, the cord needs to be inserted into an outlet switch. There's cake in the back. Go ahead. Go get some cake. If you want an effective connection with God in your life, you need to plug into prayer. You need to plug into His Word. And you better get yourself plugged into the church. And it's there you're going to obtain power, provision, and people to help you and support you through this life called, I don't know, this journey called life, I guess they say. You don't have to wait until your world's falling apart for God to put your life together. You can let God put your life together now, ever before your world falls apart. Just stay connected. Stay connected. There's power when we stay connected. I wonder if we can lift up our hands all across this house. I wonder if you can just begin to thank God for this awesome thing that we have called prayer. Thank you, God, that I can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy from you, O God. I don't need an Old Testament priest to come and to sacrifice a sheep two times a day. But God, I can boldly come to your throne, humbly, God, I can call out to you in prayer. Thank you, God, for being our ultimate high priest, that we can come in with just ourselves and come in as a holy sacrifice, pleasing unto you, Jesus. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us the Word of God, where we can read inspiring stories from old, and God, we can apply it through our lives today. But just like John said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're thankful, Lord, what we can receive through your Word, God, what you can provide through the written Word of God and through your Spirit. And God, let us never lose sight of the church. No matter where our life ends up, no matter what city we may find ourselves in, I pray, God, that one of our students, maybe someone that's even in this place tonight, God, who is feeling like they're in a time of isolation, where they feel like they're alone, they feel afraid, they don't know what to do next in their life, I pray, Jesus, that this message would stick to them, these three words. Please stay connected. Please stay connected. We need to be connected to you, God, like never before. In Jesus' name. I wonder if one more time you would just slip your hands up. Just worship the Lord for who He is tonight. Has God ever done something in your life that you could just say, thank you, Jesus? Thank you, God, for who you are to me tonight. You don't have to bless me, but God, I thank you for your blessings. Thank you, God, for your favor in my life today. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.